Bremer headed for Iraq in early May, determined to show that there was a new sheriff in town. In a memo to the Pentagon's general counsel written just before his departure, he noted his desire that my arrival in Iraq be marked by clear, public, and decisive steps to reassure Iraqis that we are determined to eradicate Saddamism. One of those steps, he decided, would be the total dissolution of the Iraqi army. He attached the draft of an order to that end, that, he said, Walt Slocum has suggested that I issue immediately after my arrival. Slocum was a former Pentagon official who had agreed to be Bremer's advisor on defense issues. On May 12, 2003, Bremer arrived in Baghdad aboard a Special Operations MC-130 combat Talon aircraft. He and Garner overlapped for just a few weeks. Garner had told Rumsfeld he would stay as late as early July, but soon found that his views weren't particularly welcome. Jerry Bremer didn't want my advice. He's a hard-working guy, 20 hours a day, but he cut me out the first day, didn't have me to any of his meetings, so on the third day he was there, I said, Jerry, I'm going home. We just didn't get along. For his own part, Bremer, a veteran diplomat who had gone on to work as a consultant, was taken aback by the situation on the ground. I found a city that was on fire, not from the war, but from the looting, he later said. I found a city where there was virtually no traffic except for American military vehicles or coalition tanks and Humvees, a city where there was a lot of gunfire still going on. In mid-May, Bremer quickly made three moves that radically altered the American approach to Iraq and went a long way toward creating support for an anti-American insurgency. Oddly, these early moves contradicted the decisions made by President Bush on March 10 and 12 at briefings on post-war Iraq, according to an administration official who participated in both. They were not the decisions that the administration had reached, Richard Armitage confirmed in an interview. One of the first things Bremer did after arriving in Iraq was show Garner the order he intended to issue to rid Iraq of Ba'athist leadership. Senior party members, it stated, are hereby removed from their positions and banned from future employment in the public sector. In addition, anyone holding a position in the top three management layers of any ministry, government-run corporation, university, or hospital, and who was a party member, even of a junior rank, would be deemed to be a senior Ba'athist and so would be fired. What's more, those suspected of crimes would be investigated and, if deemed a flight risk, would be detained or placed under house arrest. Garner was appalled. This went far beyond what he had planned for months, and in fact had briefed for Rumsfeld and President Bush. The message Garner had given his subordinates, recalled his strategy chief, Colonel Paul Hughes, was let them sort out their own debathification, either kill them or force them to leave. If issued as written, the order Bremer was carrying would lead to disaster, Garner thought. He went to see the CIA station chief, whom Garner had seen work well with the military. This is too hard, Garner told the CIA officer, who read it and agreed. The two allies went back to Bremer. Give us an hour or so to redo this, Garner asked. Absolutely not, Bremer responded. I have my instructions and I am going to issue this. The CIA station chief urged Bremer to reconsider. These are the people who know where the levers of the infrastructure are, from electricity to water to transportation, he said. Take them out of the equation and you undercut the operation of this country, he warned. No, said Bremer. Okay, the veteran CIA man responded. Do this, he said, but understand one thing. By nightfall, you'll have driven 30,000 to 50,000 Ba'athists underground, and in 6 months, you'll really regret this. The U.S. intelligence estimate was that the party had a total membership of 600,000 to 700,000, of which between 15 and 40,000 were senior members, depending on how one counted. Bremer looked at the two. I have my instructions, he repeated, according to Garner, though it isn't clear that he really did, as the policy he was implementing wasn't what had been briefed to the president. A few months later, the veteran CIA man would leave Baghdad, replaced by a far more junior officer. In the fall of 2005, he would resign from government service.